let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. A strikingly suspenseful tale of hidden truths, Disappeared and Found by Carrie Reese, takes a simple quest and gives it so many twists and turns, readers will be on pins and needles until the end. As a result, readers will find themselves torn over wanting to know the truth or wondering whether it's best left hidden. That's from just one of the many rave reviews for Disappeared and Found. Was she adopted or kidnapped? A young woman's search for her biological family opens up a mystifying 21-year-old cold case of a mother and her baby daughter disappearing while on a walk, a development that arouses interest and surprise from a couple of television programs, local and federal law enforcement, and a splintered family. Carrie was born and raised in Borden, Oregon, raised in Jacksonville, Florida, attended the University of California at Los Angeles, graduating with a bachelor's in motion picture and television arts. He started working for ABC Television and reached the level of associate director of digital broadcast communications for the Disney ABC Television Group in his 28-year career. He's traveled widely through the United States and Europe, currently residing in Colorado. Carrie Reese, author of Disappeared and Found, joining us on This Week in America. Carrie, welcome to the program. Looking forward to talking with you.
All right. Thank you. Welcome. I appreciate this. This is fantastic.
Well, I'm really looking forward to talking about the book, and at some point talking about 28 years at the height of television out there with ABC when we had all these great hit programs, and we'll have to do that at some point. But I want to focus on this book because it's getting rave reviews, and I understand the television background really helped in putting the story together. What this basically was, a couple of your favorite television shows, the premises, you joined those and created this hit novel, Disappeared and Found. Talk about where the idea came from.
Well, there were a couple of shows, and I'm sort of really like, I guess you could call it the Discovery. I think TLC has this very interesting show called Long Lost Family. It's always been sort of interesting. They have a couple of hosts. What they do is people have reached up to them and said, "Hey, I was adopted, and would like to find my true family." And the host goes and does the investigation with all the information, sometimes with DNA, and they find the original mother or father or family, and reconnect. It's one way or the other, or sometimes it's the mother who had given the child for adoption.
Yes.
And also reaching out. So that was very interesting. But at the same time, there was also on the ID network a show called
Disappeared.
Disappeared.
One of my favorites as well.
Exactly. And that one was more or less about people who have just disappeared, and they're out there, doing interviews and trying to find out, it was cold cases. And I think I watched both of them on the same day, and I was like, wait a minute, what would happen if this investigation turned out that we have person who's looking to find out who their original family is discovers that she was another baby that was disappeared, and they were there and both shows were somehow.
Yes.
Working on the same thing, and it sort of creates this sort of interplay. And I said, that looks, I thought that was such a wonderful idea. I'm very good. I really, really do love mysteries. That's sort of like one of my favorites.
Well, you're combining these two, and it's interesting because I watched Long Lost Family and Disappeared, not creative enough to put the two together and to come up with this great storyline that you have in Disappeared and Found. I mentioned in the beginning, was she adopted or kidnapped? That's the whole lays it all out there, and your mind is wandering all over the place as you follow this. Talk about Dorothy, the lead character in the book, and how she goes off in one direction and then has a whole lot of question marks, and she has a whole lot of decisions to make as well.
Right. Well, first off, the whole thing is that I start out first that she finds out she's adopted because she's never been told that she's quote was adopted. She suddenly overhears it, I came up with an idea, because I know something about blood types that where she's at, she's learning, she's in college and she's checking and see, she's in her, in a class about You know, they're having her check her, do her blood type to see how it works, how to test. And it's there where she realizes that her father, you know, that the blood type she has does not match her mother and father's. And that's where they said, no, you got, that's when she goes to find out why. And that's when she finds, she overhears the father saying, hey, she was adopted. I don't want her to know. And she suddenly realized, so I was adopted. And that's a, that's where it gets the idea that, especially someone who finds out that she, that they're adopted late in life, you know, never knowing us,
yes,
that gives them more of an impetus to say, I want to find out, why was I adopted? And, you know, who would give me away? And that's where I, you know, and so I said, okay, I used the one show and I created, a, you know, sort of a similar type of show for this where she could reach out. And then, you know, that's when they do the research. And when they reach out to, they get a DNA sample. It says, oh, they reach out and this, to this, where the sample connected to, a potential close connection like a brother. And at the time, when they reach out to him, he's doing an interview about a disappearance. Because when he, when they say, hey, did you have a sister who was put out for adoption? He says, no, my baby sister, and, you know, and my mother disappeared 20 years ago. And especially now you have this other show that's talking about,
yes,
wow, you know, disappearance. And I think I just realized that by putting this together, it created a more, now we've got a whole mystery to really search through.
You know, and I mentioned twist and turn several times. That's an understatement, because you go all over with this, all to the, and your mind is wondering, like, what is going to happen here? The book is Disappeared and Found. The author is Carrie Reese. I'm going to spell that. That's K-E-R-R-Y. Reese is R-E-I-S. His website is carrielreese.com. The book is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places. You can go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, link directly on, or go to Carrie's website. We'll have that link up there as well. And I'll give you all that as we go through the program. So Dorothy thinks for a while, okay, this is my family. No, I was adopted. No, I might have been actually stolen, and going through all these emotions and who's my real family and do I have family out there that I don't know is there? So here's a cold case. Here's this, all these questions that are presented. Two national programs that basically are working on it. What type of research did you have to do to follow through with both these different storylines?
Well, what I try and do is, first off, well, I knew about blood types, so that was one reason why I understood how to fit that in. I did, you know, I'd gone through various the concepts of some of it is sort of like history in a way, because even though I've seen the shows, you know, I sort of know how the shows work in the background a little bit.
Yes.
Because of my, and then so that sort of gives me an idea of what I'm, what these, how these shows would interact. I think that I, you know, some of the research is like trying to figure out background. Where would be good places? You know, where, how would I fit where this would occur? You know, so that it fits with the, you know, I had to come up with the background itself, what the real answer is, and then make sure that all, everything fits into place. So I go through maps and everything. And that's why I chose, you know, the Northwest. I figured that you would, there was like a one situation where you have like a hospital that's a research hospital, and I figured that Seattle is a good place for that. So I used that, and I used, and then a little bit down in North California. Again, I try and look at what I know geographically, what's worked best, and then that's sort of, you know, but most of it is really just trying to work the background plot in my mind. And making sure that there's nothing that's doesn't conflict.
Yes. You do an excellent job with that. Disappeared and Found, Carrie Reese, that's R-E-I-S, is the author, Carrie with a K. You'll find his website, carrielreese.com. All of the reviews talk about, I started reading and you grabbed me right on the first page. Talk about that. Once you come up with this concept, the story you want to tell, you grab us right away. Sometimes it takes a couple of chapters before the author really gets to what the meat of the story is. You grab us right away. Talk about that, the writing process and understanding the importance of getting out of the starting gate rapidly.
Well, in a way, I guess I look at it probably because of thinking about it in essence of TV.
Yes. Yes.
In many ways, if you're producing a television show, then you want people to, if they're not interested within the first minute or so, they're going to turn off. You're going to switch over to another show. If it's a movie or something like that, a TV movie or even, that pilot of a series, it takes, it's very hard to keep people, when they have other options to say, oh, yeah, okay, move on to the next one. So I think that I always realize that first chapter or first part is something that says that right off the bat, something is going on here, I'm interested. And that's the first thing I have to look at. What is, how do you get people enwrapped the first time?
Yes.
So I had to, that first chapter was really about, wow, I'm not who I, that she where she says, wait a minute, the blood types don't match. Whoa, then we got a mystery right now. Even though it doesn't go into it takes about a few chapters to get into the main mystery. That first mystery of just saying, who am I, is right up almost immediate. And you're instantly having to figure out, okay, who is she? You start following along with her concerns.
Well, then you take that intensity and you carry it all the way through the book, ending up with what many people felt was a surprise ending. Like, wow, I didn't see that coming. Talk about that, because you keep us all the way there, and then just when we think we're up with old Carrie, we know where he's going with the storyline, you take a different route in there. Talk about the process of ending the book in a way that's really satisfying for the reader.
Well, it's sort of, in one sense, I don't want to give away what's going on.
Yeah, don't give it away, but just the idea in your mind that I'm going to surprise people at the end.
It really comes down to that. Sometimes, in order for the idea to, you have this twist, sometimes, in a way it's because, like a magician, if there are certain things, other things that happen around it that may redirect what you think it's going. Whereas if you really think about it, you can see where it is going. In some sense, it's, I think that it really was a matter of making sure that there were, that anything is complicated, that there is no one straight line in the plot. You see these other ideas, other aspects in the plot that show you totally different ideas that you get so involved in those. And then all of a sudden, the one area you look at, that's where, he comes back to. And I think I know that's sort of difficult for people to follow, but I, can't really give you an example in this case for the simple reason that it would give away what's going on.
Yeah, and it was almost borderline unfair to ask you that, but the reviews were talking about surprise endings, so I thought, okay, we'll keep them guessing, but don't want to tell them any more than that, because it's such an entertaining journey from page one from who am I to where the book ends. It's done so well. Disappeared and Found. Carrie Reiss is the author and our guest. That's K-E-R-R-Y-R-E-I-S. His website is carrielreiss.com. All of this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Book at Amazon, all the usual places. And talking about the writing process, you had this foundation with television. Does that assist you? I mean, it's storytelling, a different manner of storytelling, but it's still storytelling. Does that help you laying out the story that you're going to present to us?
Yeah, and actually I can go right all the way back to UCLA when I got in the degree, the screenwriting classes. The first thing we talked about with screenwriting is coming up with the background, a outline, so that you know where it's going and figure out where the paths are going. And I think that's, so that's what I would, that's exactly how I did it. The same way I did an outline as if it was doing a script. But that gives me that path. And instead of doing a script, you didn't just fill it out with the full description and words. And so I have, basically I have a document with each individual scene, if you can call it that way, going from the beginning to the end. In fact, that's the sort of way I was thinking about, you know, I think that I was thinking about doing, you know, I was doing creative aspects. I was first thinking of scripts, but I think when I, you know, with the self-publishing age, you realize you can also do it for books as well, and you don't have to worry about too much about battling or, yes, you know, just getting the story in there and getting it out.
Your other book is based on a movie as well, Legacy Discovered. This is the classic movie from years ago, the love story. Yeah. Talk briefly about, got a couple minutes here to talk about that, Legacy Discovered. That book's still available. You'll find it wherever, and Carrie's got information on his website. Talk about that, because you have a sort of a different take on love story.
Yeah, exactly, because that was, and actually that's when I first realized, actually at the time I came up with the idea, was really right when I had left it, just after I left ABC, Disney ABC. But at that point, I was thinking of making a book, and I just saw the book, movie Love Story, and the first thing I thought of is what would happen if she hadn't died. And then I thought, oh my gosh, what if we had created a situation like, oh, what if our hero, you know, our guy wanted to actually, you know, meet with and actually live with this girl, but he was afraid of his class, you know, his social. And that's when I came up with the idea of having him, you know, him fake his death in order to be able to be, to have a to live and marry her and have children. Yes. Until 20 years or 16 years later, it suddenly comes out that, hey, he's really the son of a billionaire, and now it all comes out and they have to deal with it. And that was that. So it still has that same love connection, but it's more family now, because it's not, you know, instead of Ellie being a, being someone who,
yes,
who dies early, this becomes more or less, how do we combine or bring the family together, especially when we have children and we have a history, a marriage history behind it, but it's still keeping the love together.
Interesting take on that, and that's Legacy Discovered by Carrie Reese, our guest and author of that book, and Disappeared and Found, the book we're talking about on the program. Do you sit there watching television with a legal pad so you can jot ideas down for upcoming story ideas?
No, actually, I just sort of like, I guess, get interested in watching TV. Of course, lately I've been doing a lot more of that, the live, you know, the Discovery, you know, TLC, ID, yes, or Science Channel. And that's sort of, you know, but it's just sort of like when things come to me. I mean, it's just the idea. I mean, I have, I realize I'm not one of those people who come up with ideas constantly. It's just occasionally, you know, it's like something hits. And I remember back, you know, when I started with ABC, actually, a while, I had this idea for a female detective in a story. I did a pilot. Actually, you know, I wrote out a script, and I was really pleased when one of my coworkers actually walked it down to the, you know, the executive, you know, prompting executive.
Oh, yes.
Although they didn't, you know, they just sort of said, well, you know, it wasn't what we wanted or anything. But still, the idea that I can say that I had a script, it was sort of interesting, and I had some friends say that, hey, what I did in that script, sort of, I foresaw things. But it's just a matter of, as I just, my mind just sort of works around, and if something makes a connection. I am a fan of Agatha Christie. I have the whole collection of Agatha Christie, so when I was a kid. And so I think of that, that's where I got in that whole mystery aspect.
What are you working on now? You've got such a creative mind. Are you working on another book?
At this time, I'm not. You know, I'm just keeping my eyes open and see if something's coming in. I know somebody told me that since I'm on this HOA board of the community I'm in, that I could probably do a book about, you know, HOA, you know, political.
Oh, a behind the scenes of an HOA. Boy, we would love that.
I guess, and, you know, in a way, the whole it's even though it's a smaller area, but it's a political aspect. I haven't quite figured it out yet, but you know, I just keep myself open, and I know that there's the ability to do this. So I'm more, you know, but I realize with the self-publishing age, you really, as soon as you put a book out, you're suddenly faced with having to go out and do the marketing yourself. as opposed to, you know, having somebody behind you with lots of money to do it.
Yes. Well, and you were part of that when you were with ABC. I'm going to take a couple minutes here to go back and talk about it. You were part of that that age of television when hit shows were hit shows. They didn't have like 10% of the audience and everybody was ecstatic. You had 40 shares that were common. That meant 40% of the people watching television at the time were watching that particular show. I'm going to ask you, I was reading an interview and you were talking about CSI and you were doing some promotional work on that. And an interesting story, CSI almost ended up with another network. If you got a second, remember the story. Tell us, this is fascinating.
Because basically what happened was that CSI was a combination between Touchstone, which was the television production unit of Disney, and the CBS studios. And what happened was that since they had when Disney at that time, right at that time, had gone and bought, that's when they bought and merged ABC into the Disney studios, right at that time. And because we just got moved into ABC, into the Disney ABC combination, that's why I was able to see the pilot, and because I was actually choosing clips where need to be. But it was presented to the ABC producers, who looked at it and they program execs who looked at it and said, well, it's good, but it was too expensive and it would have to be a number one show in order for us to really. And so they passed on it, and then it went over to the partners, the CBS, and then because CBS took it, and at the same time Touchstone decided that let's CBS have it, and they walked away from it. So it was totally produced under CBS, but it was still at one time where you saw that, there is a sort of interplay, and it was so interesting to be there, to be able to watch it and do the clips for Touchstone at the time, and not realizing it was going to be on ABC for, but well, still.
And when you mention CSI now and all the spinoffs, you think of CBS, and I did not remember even reading at the time that was, ABC was in the mix there as well. A minute or so left here. I mentioned maybe the golden age of television back then when you had hit after hit and they commanded large shares of the audience. Some people would say, we're in the golden age now. I can watch anything I want, anytime I want. As a TV fan, what do you think of the whole streaming era that we're in now? And literally television, you can watch 500 channels.
And I saw the whole thing as you can see the digital creating with cable as it's breaking out. For people, it's like, oh, we can watch all this stuff. But at the same time, as it spreads out, it becomes harder for the ones who create or produce to try and find themselves, to make themselves known. I mean, I can see all the streaming channels now that are out there, Disney Plus and whatever. You say, which one should I choose to pay money to be able to see? Of course, I have a little bit of advantage. I'm actually a member of the Television Academy, so I can see some, that they put, some of the new shows a little bit. But still, for someone, you're saying, well, do you take Netflix? Do you take Amazon Prime? Are you gonna go with, and you figure that they're asking for you to do annual membership, and you say, how you put it together? Even when you did cable, you have choices on which channels to add if you want to add HBO or Showtime, and now we got the streaming. The more there's out there, the more that you have, people are, it is harder for people to define and decide what is good, and therefore I think it's more broken up because you don't see. I mean, when I met some of these talent, what we call talent, which would be celebrities, during all the time, we're doing satellite tours and stuff, people, if I said, I met William Shatner, they go, wow. But now, I can say, I can have someone say, hey, did you see so-and-so? And you're like, well, I don't know, because I haven't seen that show. And
exactly, yes.
It's harder. It is harder, even for people to be, even for actors to become celebrity.
When you watch celebrity news now, you almost need a who's who next to you to figure out, okay, they're obviously very popular, but honestly, I don't know who they are. So it's a little different than it was back during that era when you were with ABC. Carrie, this has been so much fun. The book, Was She Adopted or Kidnapped? I love this book. What an excellent job you've done with this. Disappeared and Found. Carrie Reese is the author. That's Kerryreis. The book's available at Amazon, the usual places, and all the information at Carrie's website. That's CarrieLReese.com. That website will be up on our website, so you can go there and link on directly and get all the information on the book there, Disappeared and Found. Carrie, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us on the program. Hopefully we can do it again. Keep up the good work. Really great having you with us.
All right. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And to all your fans, I really say give them thank you for listening.
Well, we appreciate having you with us on the program. Again, the book is excellent. Disappeared and Found, Carrie Reese. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.